Suffering for Righteousness' Sake is the title of today's message, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Walking with God is a blessed life. We experience, by the grace of God, good days in our earthly sojourn. Because we draw strength from God to live triumphantly, where we seek peace and purity, kindness and humility in our walk with God. It is perhaps easier when the environment is friendly and conducive. But when the environment is hostile and unfriendly, walking with God becomes challenging. How can we maintain our ways before God and keep up and keep growing in our walk with God when we have to suffer because we have chosen to be peaceable? We have chosen to be pure, to be honest. We have chosen to be kind, to be humble. And we face hostility, persecution, out of living the Christian life by a good conscience, by a good conversation. How can we prepare ourselves for such a life? You do good, you get a smacked on your face. Well, that's what Peter tells us about the Christian life. How we live in a hostile world. How life brings with it contradictions, as it were. And Peter, in this text, will give to us three responses that we can prepare ourselves to give. How do we face persecution? When you want to share the gospel with someone and you receive not just a rejection and oftentimes a hostile response, how do you respond? What must be the Christian's disposition towards the persecution that comes in wanting to walk with God, in wanting to live the Christian life? Three thoughts from our text. Rejoice in faith, verse 13 to 14. Ready to testify of your hope, verse 15. And verse 16, renewed in strength to endure, verses 16 to 17. By a good conscience and a good conversation, verse 16, and by submitting to God's will in suffering. To submit to God's will when we have to face suffering. The first thought, rejoice in faith, verse 13 and 14. Peter says in verse 13, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. In general, when we do good to others, it will not bring harm, because the person who receives good will tend to be happy for the good that is received. In fact, Solomon says in Proverbs 16, verse 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. But there are times when this is not so. Our Lord Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount, when he gave the portrait of the Christian, he says that a true blue Christian or disciple is one who lives out the principles of the Beatitudes. He is poor in spirit. He mourns over his sins. He is meek. He hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He is merciful. He is pure in heart. He is a peacemaker. And what else? Jesus says, you'll be persecuted. The more you want to live and walk with God, right, the more you would find there would be resistance to stop you from walking the way of blessing that God has for you. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, our Lord Jesus says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. You see, sometimes that happens to us. And how do we respond? Well, the Bible tells us that our good Lord knows what we are going through. In the book of Chronicles, he says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. You want to walk with God? Well, you realize that your life encounters certain hostility that comes before you. Right? You remember our Lord Jesus Christ while he was on earth? He was doing good, healing the sick. He saw the sick coming to him, and he would heal them. And what did the leaders of Jewry said to him? Hey, why are you doing work on the Sabbath day? They did all these things from place to place because they saw so many are in trouble. So many needed help. And when they are hungry, he together with his disciples, they went to the cornfield. And you know, they took their hands and they rubbed the corn so that they could pick up some corn to quench their hunger. For they have been doing so much good all around. And yet, those who saw him said, hey, you are doing work. You are doing work on the Sabbath day. Your action amounts to winnowing. Ridiculous, right? Yeah. As you read of it in the Gospels, you find it so ridiculous. He was doing something good. He was healing the sick, helping the maimed, bringing sight to the blind. And yet, the Bible tells us that he was told, you cast out devils by the power of the devil. Wow. How discouraging can life be if you give your heart, your soul to walk with God, to serve, and what you receive in return is a smack on your face, like what our Lord Jesus Christ received. Right? On a Sunday when he was going into Jerusalem, they were hailing him. 3 days later, they said, crucify him, crucify him. What was the reason? Well, because he said that he was the king of the Jews. The human heart, how wicked and depraved the human heart can be. our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. And so the psalmist make these words of encouragement when he said in Psalm 37 verse 3 to 5, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, you want to do good, you need wisdom also. God must grant us the wisdom. If you want to help someone, what is the best way? We don't want to help them by our own strength, by our own wisdom. Well, as we seek the Lord tells us that God will help you, make a way for you. But if you would face persecution, verse 13 of our text says, and who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Well, we have seen examples, our Lord himself being the prime example. And so, what must be our response? But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, Peter says, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. I recall visiting someone, and at the invitation of this man, and I went into the house because he was bedridden and was brought in by the son, and then I heard a loud shout behind my head. Well, there was another one who was very upset that we were there to visit the father, that we were there to pray for the father, we were there to share the gospel with the father. He was stricken with disease, and after the sharing, wow, I was told, show me your IC. Then he took a picture. I don't want you to be here. Get out. I came at the invitation of the father, and the son knew that father was in critical condition. If father would not know the Lord Jesus Christ, he would perish in eternity. And so we have been in contact, praying what to do. But when we went, we faced such hostility. Was I afraid? I was afraid because he was threatening me. But I also, at that time, believed that the Lord will take care of me. And so I did not have a confrontation, but yielded, showed to him what he wanted from me. And then from there, we left. It was a very meaningful session. We spoke for nearly 45 minutes to an hour, and for the first time, he heard the gospel. And many months later, maybe a year and a year and a half later, he went home to be with the Lord. He became a Christian. Impossible. Family was crying, as it were, because that soul, but because of the sickness, how God changed the heart to want to understand and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that Jesus is the Tao that has become flesh. He is the Word that has become flesh. He is the Savior of the world. And I recall how he had to go through an operation that lasted 16, 17, 18 hours. And I remember we prayed, the church prayed, and how the Lord delivered the man. Most of the stomach was taken out, and yet the Lord kept him. How amazing it is. Well, when we think of it, we thank the Lord that at the critical time when we had to face with this threats, the Lord grant us the grace. Of course, we were troubled, but the Lord enables us to overcome, overlooked. Happy are ye, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Of course, it depends on what we are doing. If we are doing something that is not right in the sight of God, then we deserve it. But here, Peter is giving us the context that you are out there with the gospel, you are wanting to live your life as a Christian, you want to do that which is pleasing to the Lord, and you encounter restrain. Well, the Lord says to us, rejoice. Jesus says to his disciples, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. Matthew chapter 5 verse 10 says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. The Lord pronounced a blessing upon you. And this blessing is in the plural. Multiples of God's blessing. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. How to be happy when you have been scolded? How to be happy when you have been threatened? For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The Lord tells us, great is your reward in heaven. And this last beatitude is the longest with three verses, and it is the only beatitude with a command to rejoice. When you face with suffering, well, Peter says that it is the trial of your faith. And therefore, what must you do? You must rejoice in faith. That's the thought for us. That's the first thought. Rejoice in faith. To know that the Lord is with you. Happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror. We can get frightened. But how can we relieve our fear? Well, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 6, verses 7, 6 and 7, or 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, but be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Let your conversation be without covetousness. If we seek to live a life uprightly, and if we would seek to live a life that is with contentment, we know, we accept the state that which God puts us in, and we are not greedy over other things that doesn't belong to us. Then the Lord says this, that he will not leave us nor forsake us. Now, oftentimes we measure our well-being in our own limited way. But the Lord says we should measure our well-being by the way in which we live according to his holy commandments. So he tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, if we seek to follow the Lord, walk with God, then we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what men shall do unto me. Do you have that kind of assurance in your heart? That because God is with you and God's word is there to guide you to do the things that is right in the sight of God, therefore he also gives you a boldness in your heart to have the strength to follow him. So the first thought, rejoice in faith. And secondly, ready to testify of your hope. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so he tells us, right, that we not only, when we are faced with persecution, must, well, be commanded to rejoice, but to know that God is with you and that you are able to rest yourself in him. The psalmist explains it this way. Rest in the Lord, he says in Psalm 37, verse 7 and 8. And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Wow, not easy, right? How do we restrain ourselves, exercise self-restraint and self-control? Well, I submit to you that it is a fruit of the Spirit in your life. As you spend time with God, as you put him first in your life, he's going to change all your priorities in life. Those things that you set your affection upon, right, now become so tasteless. Why is that so? Because God has given you a new perspective in life. God has given you a new meaning, a new understanding of value. Your value system changes. You seek for value in those things which are eternal. As we have said before, the things that are truly valuable must be eternal. The things that are temporal, you find that they are limited in its usefulness for us. And therefore, the Lord wants us to renew our mind to seek the spiritual things. And therefore, Peter says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. In other words, he says that we are to renew our heart, renew our mind, purge ourselves of our old self. No more building barns and building bigger barns, or pulling down and building bigger barns. Right? All our energy is channeled towards thinking that, yeah, if I have a bigger barn, then I'll feel more secure. And so, you know, we are compelled because of our fear, we are compelled because of our uneasiness, because we feel insecure, because we don't have that security, because we build our security on these things, and therefore, you know, we set our life goals, our life expectations on these things. But the Lord says to us that all this won't make true security for you. You won't. It won't cost you to be truly secure. But if you would do the things of God, then you would realize that I would think, yes, I have these resources. How can I use it for the benefit of the kingdom of God? How can I invest my life, my resources, my time for the kingdom of God? How can it multiply for eternity? You have a different mindset. This is what it means to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That you be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a hope, the hope that is in you. What is the hope that is in you? What do you hope for? Well, may we hope, have the hope of eternal life. Right? The greatest impasse for mankind, what is that? Death, sickness and death, right? All of us cannot pass that. Sickness will come, death will come, and that's reality. And we would be, well, stuck faced with this reality, whether we like it or not. And we would be forced to think, what is the meaning of life? What is it that really counts? And so here, Peter tells us that we need to renew our minds. Sanctify the Lord God. John Knox, the reformer, said well. Enthrone Christ as Lord in our hearts. If Christ be Lord, then our Lord says to us, deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. Would you deny yourself? Would you be willing to take up the cross? To live a life that involves a personal sacrifice. Take up the cross, Jesus says, and follow me. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What is meekness? Meekness. Well, strength under control. What is meekness? An understanding of the will of God and a willingness to submit yourself to do the will of God. Christ lived that meek life. He submitted himself to the cross. He submitted himself to be betrayed. He knew that he's going to be betrayed. He knew that the betrayer will come and kiss him. He knew that the betrayer will come, kiss him, and then he would be hurled away, and then he would have to suffer. He would be whipped. His flesh is going to tear. And finally, he's going to have to be sentenced. Even a criminal would be freed. But he, being an innocent man, would be sentenced. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. By a renewing of our mind to do the things of God. And when we know what is the will of God, the purpose of God in this life, then you would have the strength to live it. You would have a strength to give an answer why you choose to devote your time, your resources in this way. You are willing to give an answer, you are able to give an answer because you know. Why did Noah spend more than 100 years to build the ark? Because he knew, the Lord told him that the world is going to be engulfed by a flood that is going to come. And so what did God said to him? Build a boat. Build a boat. And while he was building, he says to the people that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Everybody mocked at him. Silly man, what are you doing? Building a boat? What is rain? They have never seen rain before. Well, if we have understood and know the will of God, then we would, by the grace of God, do the things that He would want us to do. So in these last days, what are we supposed to do? Well, I believe that the Lord wants us to proclaim, right, that judgment is coming. This world is going to be destroyed by a fire. And all who do not know God will perish. A serious message. Are you willing to devote your time, your energy, your resources, channeling it to support this cause, to tell men and women that this world is going to perish and that you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let us search our hearts. Let us search our hearts if we truly are attuned to know the will of God. Is Christ's commandment to you in the Great Commission something that means an action that you have to take in your life? Or is it something just fluffy? Well, the trouble with us is this, that if we are living in a relatively materially comfortable time, you will find that it can, as it were, drown us, to be drunken in a drunken state, so that, you know, we are so caught up with the things of the world, we are so caught up with building our empire on earth, that we have no time, no time for the gospel work, no time to think of the souls around us. And that's sad. That's sad. Because when we finally realize the importance, then we can suffer the loss. And we realize that, you know, it's too late. But the Lord says to us, no. Do not be weary in well-doing. Even if it means facing a block, be willing to persevere. And so the third thought, verses 16 to 17, renewed in strength to endure. By a good conscience and a good conversation, verse 16, and by submitting to the will of God in suffering. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You want to do good? You want to follow the Lord? Be prepared that accusations can come to you, even though you may be walking right with God. And what will you do? Will you capitulate? Will you stand firm? Do you have the gumption in your heart, the backbone, to say that no, we will not. We will endure. We will despise the shame. Peter says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, Peter says, if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You'd rather choose to follow the Lord, to trust the Lord, to know that you have done your part in whatever matter that God has put before you, even though by doing the thing that is pleasing to God, it is going to cost you something. You're willing to pay the price. You're willing to make that sacrifice. You're willing to endure, and you're willing to suffer it. Be not weary in well-doing, the Apostle Paul says. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Well, that's a good conclusion to verses 16 and 17. When we look to the Lord, when we seek the Lord, search our own heart, if what we are doing is we believe, from what we understand in our prayer, that this is the thing that the Lord has laid upon us according to His word, well, He tells us that let us have that courage to persevere and to press on. We know that this Christian life, when walked in the state of spiritual maturity, will face resistance to your walk, but you are willing to suffer it. You are willing to bear it by the grace of God, because you know that the Lord, by His strength that is in you, the Spirit that is in you, will enable you to overcome. And so, the three thoughts for our consideration today as we close: rejoice in faith, ready to testify of your hope, renewed in strength to endure, by a good conscience and a good conversation, by submitting to God's will in suffering. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your word. Thank Thee for Thy word, and thank Thee for Thy grace in strengthening us. Father, I pray that Thou would grant Your people the strength to continue to do good, to continue to share the gospel, to continue to do something good for someone each day. May we be renewed in our mind, renewed in our strength, that we may choose to serve the Lord, choose to endure, knowing, Lord, that in eternity we shall not suffer loss, but in due season Thou would reward us. Great is our reward in heaven. Father, we pray for Thy people, that Thou be gracious to strengthen them, that Thou would send us forth to be Your ambassadors. Help us to be willing to deny ourselves, to take up the cross and follow Thee. This I pray with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.